Hi folks, I am Alan Wharton. This is Cutting Through the Matrix. DARPA published an article, it's in my archive section, in fact, from the last year, I think it was, where DARPA claimed that they'd implanted a brain chip in a quadriplegic. Now, DARPA is for the military. It's got nothing to do with civilians and helping paraplegics. But apparently, this young man could then email by thoughts, email his friends through via computer hookup. But this is nothing new. Sweden was leading the world in this experimentation since the 1970s using prisoners in prison with direct hookups to computer. In Canada, you had Mr. Persinger, who's a professor of Laurentian University in neurolinguistics, or neuroscience, I should say. Now, he's an interesting history, this man, because he worked and he had contracts with the Pentagon and the CIA in the 70s, working on various weaponry to do with immobilizing people by firing different pulse waves into the brain of crowds and so on. They could immobilize them. But he also worked with a Corbin helmet. Now, the Corbin helmet's been here for maybe 25, maybe even 30 years. And he could put this on his students and with using electromagnetic pulse and radiation, electrical radiation, they could stimulate any part of the brain to experience whatever you would normally experience when that part would light up. They can cause it to light up and you will have the experience. It's a reverse order, but it works the same way. And Persinger and others work in high-level teams with other professors on these very projects. The end result definitely is to implant chips into the brain, again, for their peaceful, obedient type society of pretty well the very near future. They have the brain so well mapped out, it's rather staggering what they know about it. And you have to go into the fields of neurolinguistics, neuroscience, psycholinguistics, because language is very important. Psycholinguistics is very important in how we understand. And it also deals with the parts of the brain that come in into interface with each other. But remember, each time you have a thought, clusters of brain cells are activated in unison and they give off electromagnetic fields, which can be picked up remotely. And if you do it in reverse order, you will actually make a person think of something, even visually, that kind of thing. There's more than one language, not just written or vocal. There's also the visual. So it's a fantastic field, but they're so far ahead of it. And the chip, actually, I'm pretty certain, is ready. If they can implant one to a quadriplegic, they can make him communicate to people. They can pretty well do it with anything. Now, remember, too, this will be interfaced with regional or local computers. You will not design the programs for the computer. Someone else will, which means that technically someone else is now in charge of your brain. I hope everyone understands that and never forgets it. What a power tool, what a power trip that will be if this is ever put across the world on any large scale at all. Because if people think that the big boys are going to do this for you and give you great experiences and leave it at that, you really don't understand your history, or you don't understand power and humanity at all. You get an awful shock. I've actually had young people say to me, well, the brain chip won't be bad. We can go into the Matrix system and fight it from within. Well, the whole point of the Matrix movie is you did not create the program. Everything you do is anticipated. Now, what else are they using, too? They're using many techniques. And Mark Bard, on his site, and I'll put this up, too, tonight. Got in touch with yesterday about moral judgments now are being affected because they can use little electromagnetic currents from outside your skull to literally alter your moral judgments. And he went into it, and he caught on right away because the center they've located is behind the right ear. And that's where you hold your cell phone, by the way. But it's not mentioned in the other mainstream articles that that's where you hold your cell phone. But I'll put Mark's one up tonight, and here's one of the links he sent me. And it was from the Massachusetts, where else? The Institute of Technology, that big CIA-funded organization. By Jennifer Hirsch, 29th of March, 2010. Moral judgments can be altered. Now, this is old stuff, really, because I've gone through Persinger before, Laurentian University in Canada, who's been there for years. He's worked with the CIA, he worked at NSA, he worked for Pentagon, founding ways of electromagnetic stimulation of the brain to even use it on warfare projects. And it says here, MIT neuroscientists have shown they can influence people's moral judgments by disrupting a specific brain region, a finding that helps reveal how the brain conducts and constructs morality. To make moral judgments about other people, we often need to infer their intentions, an ability known as theory of minds. For example, if a hunter shoots his friend while on a hunting trip, we need to know what the hunter was thinking. Was he secretly jealous, or did he mistake his friend for a duck? Or was he just short-sighted? Previous studies have shown that the brain region known as the right temporoparietal junction is highly active when we think about other people's intentions, thoughts, and beliefs. In the new study, the researchers disrupted activity in the right TP, temporal parietal lobe, by inducing a current in the brain using a magnetic field applied to the scalp. They found that the subject's ability to make moral judgments that require an understanding of other people's intentions, for example, a failed murder attempt, was impaired. The researchers, led by Rebecca Sachs, MIT Assistant Professor of Brain and Cognitive Sciences, report their findings in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences this week of March the 29th. The study offers striking evidence that the right temporoparietal lobe, located at the brain's surface above and behind the right ear, is critical for making moral judgments, says Lian Yang, lead author of the paper. It's also startling, since under normal circumstances, people are very confident and consistent in these kinds of moral judgments, says Young, a postdoctoral associate in MIT's Department of Brain and Cognitive Sciences. These are guys all work for the Pentagon, I understand that. It's an old science. Now, as I say, Persinger, if I find that old link, you'll see a video of him giving a lecture to some of his students years ago. And as I say, long before that, he worked and had links working with the Pentagon as well, for ways of altering behavior by using electromagnetic stimulation by pulse beam weaponry. And he's a big player in all of this. And then they bunged him in under his own little quiet place at Laurentian to carry on his work. This is all for a military-industrial complex, obviously. And they had the Corbin helmet, where they could stimulate the effects of LSD. You put this helmet on, or it would give you the same effects of marijuana, for instance. And you would experience exactly the same symptoms, but by very low frequency electromagnetic pulsation and fields. It's also another link to do this too, and I'll put them all on my site, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, is Morality Study Narrows the Gap Between the Mind and the Brain, and that's from NPR. I'll put this one up as well. And also another link from, I think it was the SciTech Heretic. It says the EM field behind the right, this is Mark Barling, behind the right ear suspends morality. And it says the neuroscientists believe that isolated the brain region behind the right ear, where moral judgments take place, they can suspend someone's ability to judge right from wrong simply by generating a magnetic field near the same spot where many of us hold our cellular phones and wireless Bluetooth headsets. The researcher findings announced today. In both experiments, the researchers found that when the right temporoparietal junction, was disrupted, subjects were more likely to judge failed attempts to harm as morally permissible. The technique used by MIT scientists, transcranial magnetic stimulation, has been described as one that creates virtual lesions on the brain. And although the TMS long-term effects on health are not well understood, well, they really are. It's not, they've been doing this for about 30 years, by the way. Similar amounts of electromagnetic radiation have been linked to increased cancer risk. The treatment is becoming increasingly popular for everything from tinnitus, that's ringing in the ears, to depression. Now, it's so amazing, too, because you'll notice all the big boys in computer technology are coming up with their helmets to interact and interface with the computer. Microsoft was already working a year ago. They announced they were working already and probably had been for quite some years on making this kind of effect happen by using wiring around your screen to project an electromagnetic field to you sitting in front of the screen, and you wouldn't even need the helmet. They're way ahead of all this stuff, and I've read articles too where some of the games they have can interface with your brain by stimulating with these electromagnetic currents the parts of your brain. Now, if you're working and playing, I should say, on some massive war game that kills, that's the only technique, and you're also suspending moral judgments, what kind of person are you training for the future black uniformed goon squad? You better think about that. Because these guys at the top know. They know this stuff. They've known for years what they're doing. Years and years and years. That's how you rule the public, covertly and stealthily. You never tell them what's really going on about anything. Anything at all. Anything at all. There's even an article about a new game that's out. I'll put this up too. Where a video game for the children and so on, where you get to rape women and choose how you're going to rape them and how your friends can join in raping them as well. I'll put that up just to show you how they're using all of this stuff I've just been talking about, altering the brainwaves. These children are all on their little telephones, hitting that temporoparietal lobe there, and no moral responsibility. Morality is flexible, as I say, it's plastic. They give you one morality for one generation, another for another. Remember what they said, Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous? He says, the first UN CEO of UNESCO, he said, we've got to drop man from his pedestal, teach him that he's just an animal. And they'll do it by training the children in the school. And eventually they'll be able to basically, and he said basically they could rut right like rabbits. With sex, free sex everywhere, but no offspring. That was the key. There would be no offspring. And they'd play themselves into this new society without knowing what was going on. Morality is modified in a lab. This came out in March. I read it before, but it's worthwhile reading it again. BBC News. Scientists have shown they can change people's moral judgments by disrupting a specific area of the brain with magnetic pulses. Think of your cell phone when I'm reading this. They identified a region in the brain just above and behind the right ear, which appears to control morality. By using magnetic pulses to block cell activity, the impaired volunteer's notion of right and wrong. So simply, mind you, Mr. Pershinger here in Canada, professor at Laurentian University, ex-CIA guy, because he worked for them for a while with their big military boys. I'm sure he still is, actually, doing the same thing, doing experiments in neuroscience, as they call it. Used the Corbin helmet years ago. I think in the 60s and 70s they had the Corbin helmet. They could put it on you and give you a trip, very much like an acid trip or a cannabis trip. Same thing, by putting little pulses into your brain. Old stuff, but they put it into your cell phones, of course. And it's so convenient to have a cell phone, isn't it? And everyone's got one. What's wrong with you? And so they say impairs their notion of right and wrong. The small Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where else, folks? Big Pentagon facility. Study appears in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Lead researcher Dr. Lane Young said, you think of morality as being a really high-level behavior. To be able to apply a magnetic field to a specific brain region and change people's moral judgments is really astonishing, says this liar. I call him a liar because they knew this years ago, as I said. Study after study done with classes of students, one after another, for years, 30-odd years, 40 years. Of course they knew it worked. But I'll put these articles at cuttingthroughthematrix.com, these links. Read them for yourself at the end of the show. Hi folks, we're back, Cutting Through the Matrix. talking about neuroscience, and you have to go into the history of it and behaviorism as well, and go through all the various psychological movements that are designed to control society. That's really the purpose of them, not just to help people when they're sick, but really it's like weaponizing anything. You know, the first thing is always for a military aspect or power control, and that's why they have neuroscience. Neuroscientists talk about their ambitions for world control and world peace and all the rest of it. In Canada, you have a guy called Persinger, who used to work with the US military for the Pentagon, a neuroscientist who's up, got YouTube videos up there, and he talks about the present time. We're all living inside this wonderful, he said, wonderful Wi-Fi fields. We're all communicating together, connected. Well, that's technotronics, you see. Since the human brain basically fluctuates at a speed of or pulses of 7.4 hertz per second. And he talks about this too, that eventually worldwide we could all be plugged in to each other and feel each other's thoughts, etc., etc. Well, when that happens, you're no longer an individual. And believe you me, someone will be at the top giving you your thoughts. It's a horrific vision. But he had tears in his eyes at the end of this talk up on YouTube, where he says that you'll feel hunger across the world. You'll feel their hunger. You'll feel this, you'll feel that, and all the rest of it. No, these guys are megalomaniacs, very well paid megalomaniacs to do what they're doing. Because, as I say, they want to bring in this world where an elite, you know, an intelligentsia will run the world properly, where all the rest of the workers, all the masses of people down below will just be working buffoons who won't need so much entertainment, mind you, quite cheap to feed them and maybe give you a drip to feed you like 7 of 9. You go into a cubicle at night and that's you fed, and you work for 14 hours, 16 hours the next day non-stop without a murmur or a reward. That's what they're after. So here's this guy who was into the cinema and started shooting at people too. He's been in neuroscience, that's what he was studying, supposedly. And believe you me, if you're a student with them under these guys like Persinger, they will do a lot of mind tricks in your head as well. That will come out later on, I'm sure of it. We'll find out about this, because there's so much to do with experimentation on their own students all the time, even to do with the Corbyn helmets, remember? That's well known in Canada, they have that here. They can actually give you, put a helmet on and stimulate your thoughts and even give you trips like you were on a hallucinogenic drug, all through electronics and pulsing certain frequencies at your brain. Old stuff, by the way, very old stuff here in Canada. Now, another big thing that came out too that Obama signed was the Brain Activity Map Project. Massive money into it, massive cash getting put into it to find out, try to find out everything about the brain for total control purposes, of course. But it says the Brain Activity Map Project is a collaborative research initiative announced by the Obama administration in 2013 with the goal of mapping the activity of every neuron in the human brain in 10 years. That's their big goal. Based upon the Human Genome Project, the initiative is projected to cost more than $300 million of your tax money per year for 10 years. It's going to be organized by the Office of Science and Technology Policy, with participation by the National Institutes of Health, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. Can you connect the dots right here? And the National Science Foundation, along with a collaboration by the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. Howard Hughes, big military contractors too, but they're into medicine as well. And the Allen Institute for Brain Science. Representatives from Google, Microsoft and Qualcomm have also taken part in planning the project. You understand, you're all living now in the Wi-Fi fields. And Persinger, who is in a Canadian university up here, you should look at some of his videos. He's all for this guy. Worked for the NSA and so on. This Persinger guy and CIA and big projects, big funding. He's a professor, and Persinger thinks this is wonderful. We'll all be able to think the same things at the same time in this unified field. And it's, you know, not kidding you. This is where they're going with it all. Of course, the other guys, all the rest of them at the top, won't be affected by it because they'll have a little gizmo, probably the size of a matchstick, in their pocket that'll stop them from being affected by this big field. This is what it's all for. It's for total control purposes. That's what it's for. Why do you think DARPA's involved in it and all these other ones? by using new non-invasive methods of electrophysiology derived from nanotechnology, which synthetic DNA molecules will be used to store and report the sense activity of single neurons, they're combining them and combining them with methods of neuroimaging and neuroanatomy. This is participating scientists hope to map activity of each of the approximately 100 billion neurons in the human brain. So they're also got subjects, test subjects, they're using DNA and nanotechnology to try and follow their paths, basically, as they travel through the brain and their synapses happening and all the rest of it. You know, because they want to help you think better, you know, more clearly. The time is just flying in, isn't it? Really, it's flying in. I don't know if it's what they speculated about a long time ago, many years ago, in fact, about the airways being saturated with so many signals and Wi-Fi and so on, that it's affecting our sense of time to some extent. I'm sure there's something to that. In fact, there is something to it, because I read studies about it years ago from different scientific institutions talking about this big field. Even Professor Persinger was involved in it too. And his whole field theory idea was the idea we'd all be saturated and involved in a field of manipulative airwaves. They would affect our behavior and prompt us to do this and that and the other kind of thing. And even feel hunger from starving people in different parts of the world. And he thought it was a great thing. Well, think about that. Don't fall for all this rubbish. They always give you we're here to help you. Now, we're just making stuff to manipulate your brains so as you'll feel what we want you to feel. Think about it that way, folks. Huh? It's so astonishing to me about the behaviorists and psychologists and so on who've studied us and studied us and studied us to make money for big, big corporations and governments, so that those same governments and corporations can control us all and buy their products and behave in certain ways that our masters think is going to give them less trouble. Because we don't live in a free society. I really don't know where anyone gets this idea. No one wants to think this stuff is damaging us, even though the statistics out there and the disclosures of studies showing us all the cancers we're getting off this stuff, and you wonder why they're giving you more and more and more. Do you know the folk who design these things and make them won't even carry a cell phone? What does that tell you? Do you really want what Persinger, the professor, who had worked for the big military boys at one point? They talked about the big field of basically they could you're living in a field. You meant Wi-Fi, and eventually no one could be ignorant of other folks' sufferings. You'd know what people across the world were, how they were starving. You'd feel it. You'd know it. You'd literally feel it, because it would be in your brain. You see, don't you want that system? Of course you don't. But are you going to get much of a say in it? Well, you've got a say in it if you demand it. If you don't demand it, you get no say in it. Simple as that. And it's always pushes a great, great thing. I tell you, the worst thing, of course, is a computer. If you're working on a computer, looking up different articles and stories and what's getting put out there for news, etc., time will vanish. I've always known that will happen, but I'm pretty certain that since they're always upgrading all your computer systems, etc., and even unknowingly to you as you're using the darn things, the Pentagon wrote about that years ago, and I remember putting the article up, that they could affect your mood and your behavior by putting out patterns of pixels which you wouldn't be conscious of, but they would affect through your eye, literally. Different things like heart rate, for instance. They could be hypnotic, naturally. I think we've all experienced that to an extent with a computer. When you start daydreaming on the thing and you realize that how long you've been daydreaming, because whatever you're reading or looking at is boring, you see, or repetitive. Your mind will wander into it and then you'll daydream. But I think it really does. I think with all the Wi-Fi and everything that Mr. Persinger talked about, Professor Persinger, a few years ago, a guy who worked in Sudbury at the university there,
with the department on psychology, a kind of advanced type of psychology. But he also was really into, he used the Corbin helmet, for instance, which can, you put it on and it'll pulse different frequencies around the brain wearing the helmet. And it's claimed that they can actually give hallucinogenic experiences from it, or in the very least relax them, as marijuana would do, sort of thing. He also talked in his lectures, and I put those links up years ago, he talked about a field that we've heard about the field theory, that they came up with different theories and so on. But you have to always realize that there's a way of looking at something, and in an inner way of looking at something, because this unified idea has more to it than unifies. It's literally to do with unifying society under a form of control, because he talked about how, which is probably true to an extent, that there's such a thing. There is such a thing as intuition. We know that as intuition, we get ideas. We're taught not to trust it anymore, but we should trust our intuition, because it's often a warning. Those in charge of the agendas, the world society, the globalistic future, the behaviorists and psychologists and so on, and neuroscientists that work for the big boys and gals, are quite open about their agendas, you see. And they have ways to make us all kind of look forward to it, the same way as advertising, as I say, made you feel that buying this or buying that was going to make you happy. The whole point is they can make you less and less happy, so that you will take the brain chip when it's offered. And there's no doubt at all, in the 90s they said, because it already experimented as far back as Delgado's era, and with the Tavistock group in Britain, that Aldous Huxley talked about when he worked with him for a little while. He certainly had access to some of their experiments, and he'd walk around and observe their experiments too with real people, where they did have wired access to some people's brains, basically, and they tried the little press button idea to shock the brain or even give them sexual stimulation and ways to stop them doing impulsive things in certain patients. Old stuff, and the intention was always eventually to get to a wireless phase if possible, and we're living in it today, of course. We're living in a field of electromagnetism and Wi-Fi. And with the 5G, according to some of the people who work with 5G and work with radar, they say this is in the frequency of radar. And these same people who worked with radar for the military say that the 5G was very dangerous if you're right in front of basically the cone or the radar that's beaming it, or even around it too, because there's bounce effects as well, as we know with Wi-Fi, which is microwave, and it gets more and more intense. And I keep going back to different people that, and this is, again, what's this wonderful about living a bit longer than some folk at times, is that you remember what they talked about, the bringing up, living in a field of Wi-Fi, this electromagnetic field that could even have basically a form of electronic telepathy. That's how they worked upon it. That's how they called it that, and other names too, including Persinger, who was the professor at one of the universities in Canada here for years. He talked about it. I gave talks, and I don't know if it's still up on YouTube or wherever, but I put it up ages ago with the link to one of his talks, where he talked about how wonderful it would be when we're all bathed in this Wi-Fi, but with obviously the knowledge, right, from his perspective, that he knew would all feel the same things at the same time, including they could make us all, they, you know, they, again, quotation marks, could make us feel hunger pangs, real hunger from starvation in parts of, say, Africa or somewhere. And how wonderful that would be. And I thought, well, that's just one thing. They could do anything with us all. I mentioned that someone had sent me a driver with some experiments, just they were done and shown on, I think, maybe the BBC in England or something. And it was to do with electromagnetic energy being applied to people's heads. You can touch the head. You don't have to touch the head, actually, with it. Well, we've already heard about the Corbin helmet, and, of course, Persinger, Professor Persinger, I've talked about him over the years, on and off, who was right into this kind of stuff on a bigger scale. Whatever they show you, they're way ahead of it in the military applications of these things. But on the basic show on television, the idea was to show you that how good this equipment could be for altering certain problems, like perhaps neurological problems in the brain, or even forms of epilepsy. That was the idea behind it. This low-level expose that was shown as to be wonderful, you see. But the guy, the interviewer, gave himself as a guinea pig to the people who had the little gizmo, little gadget. It wasn't very big machinery, you know, very compact micro machinery of equipment or electronics. And they put near his head this little thing, and they showed, they literally hear it zapping. It doesn't have to, you wouldn't generally hear these things at all if you don't want you to hear anything. But you could hear it click, click, clicking. So he was asked to repeat a nursery rhyme. Mary had a little lamb, and he was doing well. And then you'd hear it going click, 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 click. And then you'd see his eyes kind of blink as this thing affected the nerves around his eyes, as an example. But in his brain, he just stopped dead. It throws you off your way of thinking. Well, the deeper application I've found from the military side of things, and there's lots of information out there, you know, on this, the applications of electromagnetic energy to disrupt the patterns of thoughts amongst people. I remember years ago when the HARP idea was going on, and of course the massive project in Alaska at the time, where they had arrays and arrays of the for creating standing waves from the ground up to the ionosphere. And it was the Air Force, I think it ran it, the US Air Force at the time. And they even put out documentaries in Canada trying to make it almost comical. Like, let's go up and talk to the cleaning lady who just said, well, there's nothing much going on here, and this kind of stuff. But they did do an interview with a guy who was a public relations propaganda, right, expert for the military. And he was dressed in a suit, so he was kind of an approachable guy. And, oh no, he says, there's nothing terrible about what we're doing here, just experimentation. So they spent multi-millions, maybe billions, on this big array, it's complex, and a few acres of ground, where they could create incredible standing waves that could give you the Northern Lights if they want to, because it hits the ionosphere. But they can also use this to superheat parts of the atmosphere as a weapon if they want to. But on a secondary carrier wave, they could actually interfere with the human thinking. And that this has all been documented, this information, but that's part of it too. It was thought that they used this technology when they first went into Iraq, or they bombarded Iraqis with it during Operation Desert Storm, when you saw all these Iraqis coming out of their dug-in trenches, utterly dazed as could be. And this was in the newspapers at the time, you know, when they're allowed to talk about things like that. Newspapers have always lied to you, but occasionally they'd let you know a little bit when it was in another country, you know. So you saw these folk coming out of the trenches and had little clips on TV years ago. Just utterly confused and dazed, but they hadn't been under intense physical bombardment, you know. But they were definitely confused, and they couldn't understand. Their interpreters there, speaking their own language, they couldn't understand for a while. They were very confused, and this was thought to be HARP. It was standing waves they'd been testing out then, and then they did the same thing again with Operation Iraqi Freedom, to give them democracy, like we've got it here, and. So anyway, that's when they use these technologies as in warfare. That's when there's an open field then, because no one's going to poo-poo it or say you shouldn't be using that on people when they're designated as an enemy, you know, and all the propaganda's in full force. So they were doing all that kind of thing back then. So anyway, you take it from there and you say, oh, this is all too fantastic for me. I'll switch off now. But go back to Brzezinski's, but most folk don't read now, eh? And Zygmunt Brzezinski in the 1970s, in his own book, he said that between two ages, he says, we can now, in a technotronic era chapter, he says, we can now, if we want to, bathe the whole continent in particular frequencies or alter the behavior of every person in that area, you know, or the whole country. Well, take that back to where you are now with the standing waves, and you don't need Alaska for it. They've got portable ones all over. They've got an array of them, by the way. If you look into the HAARP projects, that an array of them, it's built up in different universities across the US now. They can actually get together on certain nights and beam these standing waves up collectively, meeting in certain parts of the sky, causing standing waves, and also bouncing off the atmosphere, and they can just get a mirror, they can actually direct it to where they want it to come down and hit. And they even use this technology now to see under the ground for hideouts and dugouts, and even using for pipelines and things. It's amazing what they can do with it. But again, don't forget, there's a whole wide frequency range involved there, and part of it can be set quite easily, and they've tried it within the human brainwave patterns. So getting back to this little demonstration of the wonderful little portable thing that they had, that was meant to help people in the medicine, this is what they said. They can make you completely lose your pattern of thinking. And that was, again, tied right in with something I'd already watched and read before about a technology which they said that they already had too. They tested it out after 9/11. And the idea, once again, was to try to figure out what folk were thinking. And they said if they could just... Don't forget that every thought that you have is goes into electricity, you know, and it's transmitted to different parts of the brain very fast, you know, and that's how you can use your muscles, your mouth, and all the rest of it to vocalize what you're thinking, etc. But also, and you've already seen exposés that came out of the equipment, unlimited funding, research and development under terrorism, anti-terrorism, after 9/11. That's why they love these things. It's all your tax money, guaranteed to be paid by the government, whether it works or not. And they showed you people who are looking at certain things in front of them. And then they showed you these gadgets that were directed at the back of folks' heads. And they could actually reproduce what the person was seeing by tapping into the occipital energy from the occipital lobe at the back of the head. And it was pretty good. It was a bit fuzzy, but you could absolutely tell what they were seeing, you know. Well, it's understanding the language of... I gave the talks years ago, before it even came out. I said if you ever could tap into the language, you see, of the eyes, then you could see what they were seeing. And the same thing with smell, you know, from a distance. It's all language, different languages and different types of languages for different areas. But thinking itself, can you imagine now? And then the idea was to, when a person was thinking about something, and a computer set up would be reading this in real time, what you were thinking, at a distance. If it didn't agree, if it's already programmed to attack and change certain thoughts on certain topics, it would catch your thoughts basically in midair and transmit them back to you with alterations until you'd say something and you'd say, oh, I didn't mean to say that, but you'd say it anyway. These techniques are out there, these gadgets are out there. Eh? Absolutely. So when it comes to electromagnetic interference with the brains, that's a weapon, it's a tried and true method by the military. And they do have much more portable machinery they can take on backpacks, right down to even pocket ones, by the way. From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.